Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. This is my dad, Ted.
Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Knightsky. Well, here we are, nearing the end of April in the United States, and that means we only have a few more weeks left of school. This past year, at the very least, has been an interesting one to live, learn, and work in. However, this episode is dedicated to challenging you so that you can carry those you love and serve into the summer with the right mindset. Now, I don't care which role you play in life as you listen to the Smart Thinking Podcast, whether you're a parent, a teacher, an administrator, a business person, a doctor, a lawyer, whatever. We all have a responsibility to create lift in the lives of those we serve. We all have a responsibility to supercharge the world around us, and we are all leaders as a result of that responsibility and our influence. So many people think that the end of the school year is a reason to celebrate, and it is. However, leading up to the end is not a reason to let off the gas and slow down, to have countdowns, to tell people you just have to get through the next 15 days. Instead, the end of a school year provides us all the opportunity to make certain that the time together was valuable, insightful, fulfilling, and an investment. I have to be really honest with you. I am so tired of people talking about how hard this year has been. We get it. We've all been living through it. And I recognize that I probably need to be more empathetic. But come on, we are moving in one direction in life, and that is forward. Constantly reliving what has happened is a natural part of the grieving process. But another natural part is the recovery process, and that is a sense of hope. Hope and honoring the journey, and then celebrating the arrival. What I want you to focus on from today forward for those you love and serve is the hope towards the end. Because the end is near, which means a beginning is upon us. And celebrating that something is over while being a natural process, it should instead be shifted from a it's finally over to a look what we've done. A couple of quick stories. One just a funny one, but to illustrate the value and fun of shifting the mindset of those around you. Now, both of my children have a great sense of humor, and in our house, if anyone says the end is near, well, my wife and I immediately smile at a memory created by our kids. I also think that you should do this, what I'm about to tell you, to someone that you live with or love. A couple of years ago, I came out of the bathroom with tears in my eyes. I was just laughing hysterically, but my wife looked at me with concern, but once she realized I was laughing so hard that I couldn't even breathe, and then I caught my breath, well, she said, "What is going on?" I said, "Come in here. I got to show you something." And I showed her what I was laughing about. Our daughter Grace, using like a mascara pencil or some sort of a makeup pencil, had unrolled the toilet paper roll until nearly the end and written the message, "The end is near," on the third to last piece of paper. And then she rolled it back up. So when I got to it, it was hilarious. And it's an image I see in my mind many times when I hear anyone say, "Oh, the end is near." And I just laugh because it's really not near. You just replace it. Which is why I believe that the end of anything needs to be shifted to an opportunity to seal in the memories, to seal in the learning, the journey, and then used to launch us forward. The schools or teachers who have countdowns for the end of the year, I actually believe those of you who do that, I think you reinforce the wrong message. We only have 30 days left. I think that implies to the kids that they don't really want to be there either. And the mindset needs to be that we only have 31 days left together, left to learn, to collaborate, and to grow. The shift in thinking actually allows us to feel a sense of immediacy and importance in the learning. And more importantly, it reinforces the value of our time together instead of metaphorically reinforcing that this place is a prison. Because the only place you should be counting down to get out of is a prison. The piece that I believe is different this year is that learning and working during a pandemic has been lacking something that we all value above most other things. Predictability. Predictability. Each day we walked into schools and offices, we were, on many of those days, just waiting for something to go wrong. And many days, it did. And that is why we need to figure out a way to end the school year on a lifting moment instead of a let's just get the heck out of here moment. I have a book I recommended a few years ago to you, and I recommend it every time I run into people who are trying to figure out a way to make things memorable. I also believe that every leader should read it. It's called The Power of Moments by Chip and Dan Heath. It is a text that shows us the science of the power of creating mental moments so that we can emblazon them in our minds and we can forever remember what we've learned and experienced. They call them peak moments, moments that will be remembered, reapplied, and utilized for the better as we learn and grow forward. Chip and Dan suggest that any peak moment requires at least one of four elements. Elevation, those are the moments of happiness that transcend the normal course of events through sensory pleasure and surprise. Pride, these are the moments that capture us at our best, whether it be moments of achievement or moments of courage. Insight, these are our eureka moments. They change our understanding of ourselves and the world and give us a moment of sobriety and clarity. And connection. These are moments which are social in nature, life cycle ritual types of things like weddings, graduations, baptisms, parades, homecomings, proms. We go through a variety of rituals and ceremonies. Many of these aim to commemorate some form of a milestone or evolution in our lives. But the thing is that these special moments are all time-based. Imagine looking back on your life only to find that the only defining moments you've ever had are things like a graduation, a wedding, or your retirement, and you don't remember anything in between. If that's the case, you don't have to wait because you can create peak experiences. They don't need to be years of waiting for things to remember. Most of the milestones that we celebrate are social constructs, and we celebrate them only because others do. But if something's important, you don't have to follow the crowd. You can create them yourselves. This comes directly from their text, and here's the deal. Let's do it. Let's end the school year on a peak moment of pride. As I was listing those experiences that must occur for you to have a peak moment, that is forever in your mind, were you recalling some of the strategies we did a year ago, like teacher parades, when they were driving around in their cars honking through neighborhoods, where kids were standing outside with posters waving at their teachers and actually missing school, where businesses were putting signs in the front of people's yards, and commercials on TV were celebrating all the courage and heroism that was taking place. It was awesome. But then, time and everything else started to catch up. The pandemic didn't stop, and then we normalized around the weirdness and the virus, and we forgot one big thing. Gratitude and effort. Yes, people were running around saying thank you, but we were missing one important thing. Peak moments to celebrate and demonstrate that we've been through all of these weird things together. The pride of survival. I'm convinced that in 18 months from now, we will be back to an almost entirely normal world. And in those moments in the future, people will begin to go back to complaining, being pessimistic, and worrying about micro issues after we've just been through a macro event. And what I mean by that is a macro event is one like today. It's a big deal. Everyone's impacted, standing on the same burning platforms. And micro events? Well, micro moments are the ones that we used to complain about. We will one day almost entirely forget what we just went through and what we just did. And we will be complaining about, no one cares about us. That's why they always leave the copier broken. Opposed to, do you remember when you thought going to the grocery store could lead to your death? So leaders, here's my challenge for you. End the year at a peak. Create strategies so that we all have both a shared experience as well as an archive to be able to recall what it is we've all accomplished, survived, and just frankly pulled off. I have three options for your consideration. The first is called an AAR, and the second is an infograph, and the third, it's got fire trucks. So let's start with an AAR. This stands for After Action Report. It is a brief that describes an action taken by a person or a group and then breaks it down into an opportunity to create the record of the action as well as the learning. We have grown so much and discovered so much about ourselves and organizations in the last 14 months. It's insane, but we're going to forget it. So let's not. I watched entire systems shift in a week and sometimes in a day because of the need to survive or thrive. Things that would have sat in committee for months or years were done overnight. And then everyone jumped on board. How do we maintain that level of risk? How do we maintain that agility moving forward and not get stuck? Well, we need to capture how the heck we did it. Because without a record, what'll happen is a whole bunch of people will sit in a room with systemic amnesia and they'll get together and collectively argue about what they did or did not do. So let's not do that. Instead, here is the process. An after action report, or AAR, is centered on four questions. What was expected to happen? What actually occurred? What went well and why? And how can it be improved? And when can it be improved? This can be completed by a very large group of people with the use of technology or just post-it pads. Everyone contributes. All information is listed below each question in bullet, and the document is saved and distributed, printed for everyone, and referenced each time the organization hits conflict in the future. Remember what we did and how we did it? Some of you may say, this is not necessary. And to you, I say, go ahead and make chocolate chip cookies without the recipe, from memory. If you don't memorialize the actions taken, the steps you took, the lessons learned, well, I don't know how you can make chocolate chip cookies from memory, because I always screw up how much flour and baking soda or salt goes in, and if I don't have the recipe for it, I'm never going to find success. And coming out of the pandemic, one of the things that we absolutely have to do is capture all of the awesome things that we did so that on the day these things occur again, or when we get into mini or macro crises again, we can just pull out the process and we can say, look, this is how we did it. Now, as a facilitator in the AAR, there are a few behaviors that need to be reinforced and expected as norms. Open and honest professional discussions, participation by everyone, a focus on results, the event or the project, identification of ways to sustain what was done well, and last, development of recommendation on ways to overcome obstacles if they ever occur again. If you can pull that off, well, as one of my old college friends, Don, used to say, you'll be cooking with gas. I never really knew what that meant, but he'd always say it when he was excited. Okay, second strategy, infographic for the community. I always share with you at the start of the new year how much I love the Year in Review magazines that remind me of everything that has happened over the course of the past year. Well, this is instead a single sheet of paper with graphs and images that show the journey in informational images. Living through a pandemic is an amazing life experience, one hopefully never to be done again. But in an effort to end the year with a peak moment, we have to have a shared narrative. Now, imagine you created an infographic poster that illustrated everything that you were able to accomplish as a community in spite of all the things that happened. How many days of school were completed? How many athletic events? How many hours online? How many hours of in-person? Donations from the community? Opportunities for participation? Days without illness? Days with illness? Kids quarantined? Kids not quarantined? Volunteers? Substitutes? Gifts? Community engagement in our success? Dollars spent on mitigation? Materials used? Food served throughout the community? Steps above and beyond expectations? I mean, I could go on forever. And if you ask in the AAR with your staff, hey, what should we celebrate that we can measure? You'll publish a book of infograms that will truly allow you and those you serve to end the year with a huge celebration. And that is the last strategy for you. How are you going to, through process, end the year with a celebration? I mean, how are you going to create a peak moment of pride for all those that you serve? Now, if we were going to look forward to the end of the school year, we should be celebrating the success of our community. We should be reinforcing the efforts, the learnings, the engagement, and the ownership demonstrated by so many people. Now, if I were still a superintendent or a principal, I would have a parade. And I'm serious. I'd have a parade where all the kids and staff from every school marched as little and big heroes. Kids in their schools, their teachers, their bands, their music programs, their teams, the support staff, the janitors, the lunch aides, the maintenance staff, the librarians, the school nurses, the secretaries, even the IT guys and administrators marching down Main Street, celebrating what they did, fire trucks blaring their sirens, honking their horns, police cars, anybody, all of this to celebrate that we got through all of it together. We as a community coming together, and now we stand together in celebration of the weirdest year of our life. That's how I'd buffalo into the end of the school year. How will you? So let's do some smart thinking. List how you will create peak moments to end the year. Describe what you can do in an effort to capture all of the system's experiences. And list the journey you will employ in order to empower those you serve at the end of this journey. That's it. That's the Smart Thinking Podcast. Hey, as always, thank you for listening, and please make certain to rate and share this episode on your social media platform. And of course, thank you to the Well Pennies for their great music. Finally, I cannot emphasize enough how much the world needs you to end every journey with a peak moment. I have learned many times that finding success and ending a project or a school year can only create a void. It's really weird. But as a result, that void in the memories of hardship and negativity is what unfortunately gets burned into our memories. Which is why, without your leadership to celebrate the journey, to memorialize the effort, or to capture shared experiences, it will only lead to a return of having to slowly get people to go back to trying to do their best. As leaders, we have a responsibility to create the conditions for success for all we serve and are near. Negativity is charged by bitter endings, and engagement is fueled when people see that they made a difference, that they have shared ownership, and that they can support the decisions made, that they understand what is going on, and that they can recall with clarity their experiences. Memories fade, but emotions stick. Make the end of the year a peak emotional, pride-filled moment for everyone. Count up to the end and celebrate like crazy. In my mind, I imagine a scene where all the kids are socially distanced, of course, but with balloons and fire trucks blaring their sirens, floats of hope and banners, parents, relatives, and community members all cheering on the kids for demonstrating resilience. People on the sidelines shouting reinforcement for the staff for demonstrating tenaciousness, and the community celebrating together that we all got it done. Streamers of all the extra toilet paper that we now enjoy blowing around. I mean, how cool would that be? And if you have a parade, you need to invite me. I'll bring a buffalo. Man, I wish I had a buffalo.
I can't be found. And I feel the weight of it all over town. And I'm so far away, but I get a little closer every day. You're my star, you're my shaker, you're my ground, my aviator. And I say, it's alright, I'm okay, and I got nothing in my way. You're my reason for the song, and now I feel like I belong. Take a breath, little light, burn it up with me tonight. Wide awake here with you, 'cause nobody loves me like you do. And I feel so small when they never even notice me at all. Life, it knocks me down, but it doesn't seem as hard this time around. 'Cause you're my star, you're my shaker, you're my ground, my aviator. And I say, it's alright, I'm okay, and I got nothing in my way. You're my reason for a song, and now I feel like I belong. Take a breath, little light, burn it up with me tonight. Wide awake, here with you, 'cause nobody loves me like you do. Something here that wasn't here before. You're my star, you're my shaker, you're my ground, my aviator. And I say, it's alright, I'm okay, and I got nothing in my way. You're my reason for the song, and now I feel like I belong. Take a breath, little light, burn it up with me tonight. Wide awake here with you, 'cause nobody loves me like you. Nobody loves me like you. You do.